Most journalists avoid becoming the story, but the ABC's China correspondent, Bill Birtles, had no choice really, as the world's media followed his sudden departure from his posting in Beijing in September last year. It was a phone call to the ABC from DFAT, followed by a midnight knock on the door, literally, and a mad dash to the airport that ended Bill Birtles' five-year career with the ABC in Beijing. Now, our China correspondent covers the region remotely, and he's used some of that time to, well, have a baby and write a new book. It's called The Truth About China, Propaganda, Patriotism, and Search for Answers. Bill, welcome back to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
And first, can I say congratulations on the birth of the child?
Thank you. 5 weeks.
Wonderful. And 5 weeks and your eyes are still open. That's well done. Congratulations. 8 months now since you really had to flee China after that warning from DFAT. You describe it in the book. You write that after being interviewed by Chinese police, you felt you'd left your life and career in China behind because of, quote, a farcical police interview that had spooked the Australian government. Given what's happened since and how things are going, do you still hold that view that, you know, it was a that the Australian government was unnecessarily spooked, or can you see you really had to get out?
I can see where they came from. What I suppose really annoyed me at the time was they clearly don't trust journalists, and they therefore wouldn't tell us why we needed to flee. We had to find out subsequently that ASIO had been raiding Chinese journalists here in Sydney. So, you know, I get why they didn't want to tell us, but if you're going to tell people to pack up their lives and flee a country, and also telling the ABC to basically shut down its Beijing bureau for a prolonged period, you do want some sort of clarity, and we didn't have that clarity at the time, so that's why it was so nerve-wracking.
With the benefit of hindsight, though, and looking at the experience, for instance, of Cheng Lei, the Chinese-Australian journalist who was a CGTN television presenter, this is what sparked at all. Are you relieved?
Sort of. I mean, I still think it would have been a massive escalation for them to actually detain a foreign journalist. That's a step they have not yet done.
But isn't Cheng Lei a foreign journalist?
No, but, well, yeah, she works for the Chinese media. As far as they see it, she works for them and should be loyal to them. But here's the thing. My visa was up a couple of months later anyway. What are the odds that it would have been renewed in the current climate? I doubt it.
You've written a bit of in your book about the interview that you were given. You've spoken about this before, how they questioned about Cheng Lei. You didn't know much. You were a bit confused by that. But just you also filed some stories just a few days ago about the latest on Cheng Lei. Can I just get you to update us? Cheng Lei, sorry.
Yeah, it's not good. It's 9 months now that she's been detained. She's in criminal detention, so she's under investigation for leaking state secrets, either to an individual or to a foreign organisation. And even at the nine-month point, even at the point where they have announced what she's being investigated for, they will still not let her see a lawyer. And we get occasional snippets of what it's like inside her prison facility. And, for example, when she does do the video calls once a month to the Australian diplomats, you know, she's brought in blindfolded, handcuffed. They put her in a chair where they put a wooden restraint across her lap.
It's pretty heavy duty, isn't it?
Yeah, this is, what's she going to do, flee from the room? She's brought in by four guards, including two of them in full hazmat suits. So it's intimidating stuff. It's obviously very, very heartbreaking, I suppose, for her family, because she has two young children in Melbourne, and we've learnt that at the nine-month mark, authorities in China will still not let her get on the phone and speak to her son and daughter.
All right. Let's go back to your story, because you actually, before you were the ABC correspondent, you spent time in China studying and working, and what we have in your book is the story of someone who's really been there, in amongst it, even working with the Xinhua News Agency, Chinese News Agency, all through the period of sort of the development of the relationship since 2008. So you saw the relationship on the rise, and then you've seen a few sort of false starts, and then you tracked it really. It was heading to a nadir, I think. When you started work at the Xinhua News Agency, the state-owned media outlet, back in, I think it was 2010. You know, what was China like then? Did you think you were going into a period of China opening up? And how did things change over the next 8 years?
That's totally how it felt. I mean, the Beijing Olympics, of course, was sort of like China's welcome to the world. Mm. This was only a couple of years later. But the big thing at the time was the internet. Social media in China was taking off. Domestic Chinese social media sites, knockoffs of Facebook and Twitter. And the government clearly didn't know how to censor them or how much it should censor them at the time, because they were very popular. So it really did look like things were opening. The sky was the limit. all sorts of opportunities were being pursued by pretty much everybody you met, and all this ideological rigidity, loyalty to the party, you know, every day in the news talk about socialism with Chinese characteristics, there wasn't much of that. It was there in the background, but people were moving on. It really does feel incredibly different now where the country is.
When did it start to change for you as a working journalist? I mean, I think all through you were often watched or monitored by Beijing as you did stories, you did stand-ups in places, things like that. But when did you notice a deterioration in how you could operate as a journalist?
Really the last 2 to 3 years. So 2015, 2016, it was still pretty good. If you wanted to interview some business person who wanted to promote their product or whatever, they'd still be happy to engage with the foreign media. But probably 2017, 18 onwards, the Trump era, the trade war, Australia-China started to go down the gurgler. And at that point, normal people felt uncomfortable dealing with the foreign media.
Bill, you were there through some enormous stories, and we remember, well, I certainly remember, I'm sure the audience does, a lot of your reports during the Hong Kong protests where things were, you know, got very violent, in fact, and must have been quite frightening to be on the ground there. But given, and you talk a lot about Hong Kong in the book, it's really fascinating, but given what you experienced in Hong Kong and the speed with which that came upon the people, really, in the pushback on the protests, does that give you, what do you think that portends for Taiwan?
Well, the idea at the time was that China would not go hard in its response to Hong Kong because it wanted to show the Taiwanese, hey, we're offering you guys the same deal, one country, two systems. In the end, they've completely put a massive clamp on the place. They've chucked anybody who's an activist in jail. And so it looks to me like the Beijing leadership has basically given up on trying to persuade the Taiwanese. And this, of course, is why everybody is talking about potential military action in future years.
Can't be discounted.
I don't think it's imminent because if it was easy to do, frankly, the Chinese military probably would have done it decades ago. But I think some Australians might have sort of pushed it out of sight, out of mind, because it's not imminent. But I would not underestimate the determination that the Chinese government has to get that island under its control.
The other massive story you covered, of course, was the COVID pandemic. Mm. In fact, you were really Johnny on the spot in Wuhan for a moment.
Yeah.
And you talk about the biggest regret, one of the biggest regrets you have was leading the biggest story in the world. In fact, your cameraman said, why are we leaving the biggest story
Brad
in the world?
Coming in Adelaide, from Adelaide. That was his words to me at 4 a.m. And, I still have regret because with hindsight, it all looks wonderful. You know, oh, if we stayed, we would have been evacuated and we would have gone to Christmas Island and we would have had a documentary. None of this I could have guessed at 3, 4 a.m. in a Wuhan hotel on the 23rd of January that morning. Instead, I was panicking because everybody in China, my colleagues, my partner, everybody, they were terrified of this virus. They remembered SARS and they were all in my ear saying, mate, it must be worse than the government's saying, just get out.
Well, in fact, it was.
It was worse, yeah.
And here you are. Bill, thank you very much. I recommend the book. It's fantastic.
Thanks so much, Fran.
Bill Birtles, the ABC's China correspondent, author of this new book, The Truth About China, Propaganda, Patriotism and the Search for Answers.